The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go.
Hey, Aaron, set an alarm for like 20 minutes.
Got it.
Put some beer in the freezer.
Ah, good move. You can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Maybe you shouldn't. You can also
it's not going well.
Watch textures. Us on Twitch. Somebody says you guys just unlocked the conspiracy theory Pandora's box. Yeah, that's probably, I don't know why that's such a big deal to people, but guess what? We get it. Most of the time, I'm more than happy to have a discussion with you about it. That one, you do you, we'll do us. Bye.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, Fred, can we talk some sports for a minute?
Oh, hell no.
You want to keep talking about anti-vaxxing?
No. Go ahead. We'll talk sports. Fine. Bring the show down.
Supposedly, Jimbo Fisher started cheating at A&M. 1 month after he left Florida State. Like, God. It was almost instant.
I saw the story.
Shame.
And it's like the kid. Work in slowly.
The kid is banned from going to A&M. Did they start recruiting him when he was 12?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. So, 6 month show cause penalty. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, the fine is really not much. It's like $5,000. But they've got recruiting restrictions. But I don't think they're going to lose out on like a bowl game or
no. It's
like
nothing.
That.
Like it's you know when you hear in back in the old days when they said probation, you didn't get to go to bowl games. Now it just means if you screw up again, they'll get you for something. So
yeah, that's the thing. Now the radar's on you. Like people know.
979. I use text 90% of the time and vote to banish it. We were so close to having this thing fixed, and then the Rona hit, and our whole project went in the toilet. But, yeah, that's and they're also banned, I guess, from recruiting anyone from that high school. Now, I couldn't find out what high school it was.
Yeah.
But if that's a good high school that produces a bunch of guys.
Like a big school.
Yeah. Like, say, North Shore. Doesn't North Shore have, like, 20 kids every year?
Yeah. Katy.
Yeah.
That would suck, but.
And apparently during the. Now, this is, you want to talk about your slap on the wrist. During the recruiting period in the fall, he's not allowed to go face-to-face with his recruits. I'm 90% certain nobody's going face-to-face with their recruits in the fall. That's going to be a Zoom meeting.
But does that include Zoom because you're actually talking to them?
I don't know. I'll be honest, though. Can we agree so far, A&M can't be happy with return on investment on Jimbo?
I still think that they're, and I want to hear from Aggie on this, but I'm guessing they're still cautiously optimistic. That Aggie fan is still optimistic that this thing's going to work out. And I'm pretty sure they're happier with their return on Jimbo Fisher than UT is on Tom Herman.
That's probably true.
So.
Yeah, let's see.
Somebody says it's an out-of-state school. Okay, so that's.
Oh, no big deal then.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a slap on the wrist. It's not a major infraction, but it's not a good look.
17-9 so far through 2 years with old Jimbo.
Yeah, I think they expect more. I mean, of course you expect more, but you're also, look at it in context, you're up against Alabama in there, and you just had to play one of the all-time great college football teams last year.
Yeah.
And I think he'll get them there, maybe. But that's it's hard to win.
When you say get them there, where do you mean?
I mean, I think get them to where once every 5 years or so, they're actually in the running for the.
And how long do you think Aggie is willing to wait around for that to happen?
I think they're committed to this. You know, this is like the bad marriage that you get into and you decide, well, the marriage sucks, so let's have kids.
We're now in the last 25 years, Texas A&M has had two 10-win seasons, 10-plus win seasons. Is it maybe that A&M is just not, it's no longer a major football player?
See, I think
the money's there. They should be.
No, they should be. And that's why they went out and got Jimbo Fisher, because they have the money. They have the facilities. I mean, their facilities are fantastic. They're now in the premier football conference in the country. And it's a easy recruiting bet here. They should be. They're not. And that's, you know, that's why you hired this guy. So I think they're going to be patient and say, hey, he's going to get them there at some point. So somebody said if it doesn't happen in 20 or 2021, then it's a failure. What if there's not a 2020? Will you give him till 2022? I'm just curious.
I think you have to.
Yeah, I'm just curious. But by happening, what do you mean? To me, it means you at least come down to that LSU game with a chance to win the SEC West 1 year. That to me would equal success.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you want to be, right? That means you would have beaten Alabama. And in Auburn and pretty much everybody else, that to me would be the you come down with a chance to win the SEC West in the last couple of weeks of the season. That would be a success because that's no joke winning that thing.
Now that I'm looking at it, I mean, would you say you think that Texas or A&M is happier with Jimbo than Texas is with Tom?
Probably, although Herman at least got to a New Year's Six Bowl.
They won a Sugar Bowl. They were ranked sixth in 2018, and they were ranked ninth last year. Like that's the highest they got ranked. The highest A&M has been ranked is 12, and that was preseason.
Yeah, I guess when they were in the early on, I guess Sumlin was still there when they were like in the college football playoff. Early.
And I think and the other thing is the reason why Texas is probably happier than A&M because they're getting, you know, they're getting better results than the last guy got.
So far,
Kevin. I mean, Kevin Sumlin did just as good, if not better, than Jimbo Fisher's done.
Yeah, but Fisher's only had 2 years. It's not really a fair comparison.
Well, I mean,
but it will be in 3 or 4. Yeah. And he's had one successful season there.
Tom.
Yeah.
Well.
By UT standards. And the difference is UT has a track record. A&M doesn't, except for those 1938 titles that they keep adding. Yeah. But no, but to your original question, A&M should be as good a program as there is in the country. There's no reason why they shouldn't be as good as Texas at this stage. But you have to have the right coach.
Well, there's no excuse why Texas is as bad as they are, too. I mean, you can make the same argument for both, but it is kind of...
No, but I mean, there's no reason that you've got all the resources. You just paid a guy how many million dollars to coach? You just got to get the right coach. And that's every program in America, no matter how good it is, because if you don't get the right coach, it doesn't matter what advantages you've had. You go look at Ohio State had a downturn for a while. Michigan with Brady Hoke, for God's sakes. All of these programs, if you get the wrong guy in there, hell, look at Florida State. I mean, it's not going to be... Well, remember, Tennessee used to be great.
Yeah.
Well, when was the last time they had a coach that was good? And
Lane Kiffin.
They tell you every year.
Yeah. But that's LSU had its downturn before Saban and then Miles and now Coach O. There's no matter how good your program is, you get a bad coach in there and you're not going anywhere.
But the problem is, like, Texas and A&M both have kind of had their pick of the litter.
But that doesn't mean you picked the right one.
Well, that's a
problem. And I don't know if Tom Herman's going to be a success at UT or not, because a lot of guys look like they could be great coaches and they do great things at lower levels. And then you get there and the pressure's different. Even though you have all the advantages,
I mean,
every loss at Texas is a big deal.
Had I told you that that Charlie Strong would never have a winning season at Texas when they hired him, I think everybody would have thought I was crazy.
Not Red McCombs. You'd have been a good coordinator, maybe.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, I think when you talk about having all these advantages at a school like A&M or a school like Texas, that doesn't mean it's a guarantee you're going to win, because some guys simply can't handle it. For the same thing we were talking about the Yankees, some guys can't pitch in New York.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a different game. And you've got, especially at Texas, you've got to deal, and A&M too, you got so many rich guys that want to stay in your program. And, you know, and for Herman, it's an adjustment, because at UH, there's like two or three guys. You listen to what they have to say, because they're putting all the money into it. There's more than that, but there's that have that influence.
Right.
You get to Texas, there's 20 of those guys.
Yeah.
And same thing at A&M. And so, yeah, and all of the off-field stuff, and also how you hire coordinators. I mean, part of that is, you know, if you hire your buddies, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think Jimbo has a chance to win there, but he's, you know what? He needs to get that team to where Florida State was when he was coaching there, and they're not there yet. Now, will it be next year? Will it be the year after? Will it be never? Maybe he can't win there. Never did win a championship till he got Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Had a lot of really good teams. I think Aggie fan would take a lot of really good teams right now, but even those teams, would they have been good enough in the SEC West? Those
probably
Florida State
not.
Teams?
No, not to make it through an SEC West. I don't think so.
And that's the thing. He's going to have to be better. So,
you know where I think Aggie dropped the ball? Instead of hiring Jimbo Fisher, they should have hired Mack Brown.
That would have been interesting, but...
Getting, like, the best recruits in the country right now?
Mack Brown.
Freaking North Carolina.
Yeah. No, he's doing great. Now, I was for the Fisher hire. I'm still for the Fisher hire. I still think it can work. I'm willing to give it a little more time, but I'm not, you know, Aggie fan either. I'm sure Aggie fans are either more patient or less patient at this stage. So, and sometimes you get lucky with your coach and it works out. Did you really think Edo was going to work out the way he did at LSU?
No.
I didn't. I thought he'd be kind of what he's always been, which is sort of like Jimbo Fisher is at A&M. Win about 8 games. Be entertaining. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. Long ago, just like the horse, you tired of getting again. We are so far from you. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Pepper says A&M has never been a major player in football. I mean, that's kind of the point.
It's
they
hard
should
to argue,
be.
Yeah.
They should be, though. They can be. Not that they should be. And for that matter, Texas should be better than it is. Not just right now, but it was 30 years between titles. And you're supposed to be one of the premier programs in the country. That's unacceptable.
But I'm curious if there are, because I know Aggie fan believes that they are big time college football. And I'm curious, 2 years in and now with this happening today, if Aggie fan is happy with the direction that they're going right now. Because I can't imagine they are.
I don't know. We'll hear from them. I think it's a fair question. I think it's clearly whatever this was is and it's hard reading the story because there's just not a lot of detail, but it strikes me as something that obviously it's not that bad or it's pretty common everywhere.
But all it's done is put a spotlight on
it. But it is. It, when you get caught, then you get in trouble. I would ask you this, though.
Ask me.
What odds would you have taken that Ed Orgeron would have won a title before Tom Herman when they were both hired? Or even made a playoff?
I mean, maybe 10%.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, LSU fan was mad. LSU fan wanted Tom Herman.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, I don't think Herman's, you got to give Herman more time too. But at what point, because he's already done better than the prior guy. So, but Will he get them to that?
Will he get back? Will he get it to where Mac Brown had it? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm skeptical at this point. I think this better be a big season for him. And I think it's easier for Texas now than it's been in a long time because you really only have Oklahoma to deal with and occasionally Baylor. It's not like the old days where Mac had to deal with Nebraska and Colorado was good at times, except for the year that that Texas won the title and they played Colorado at Reliant in the Big 12 championship game and ran 70 up on them.
When Joel Klatt basically died on the field.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Darren. Hello, Darren. Sports to you, sir.
Hey, sports guys. Love the show, by the way.
Thank you.
So I have a theory of why Texas and Texas A&M have been down for, the good part of the last decade. So I'm originally from Florida, and I've been following recruiting very closely. And I think it really just comes down to two things in particular. One is quarterback play. If you think about, the last time Texas A&M and Texas have had their most success, Texas had Vince Young, Colt McCoy come right after each other, and Texas A&M had a Heisman winner, Johnny Manziel. Literally, outside of those quarterbacks for those two programs, over the last, 20 years, those teams have not been that impressive. So I really think it goes back to quarterback play. Same thing to Florida, my Gators. Ever since Tim Tebow left Gainesville, they've not been a title-worthy team up until probably last year. I think it really comes down to quarterback play and coaching of why these programs are in the dumpster fire they're in right now. I mean, Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, even U of H, are crying out loud, have had better quarterback play in recent years than Texas and Texas A&M, outside of those marquee guys I mentioned earlier. So I think it really comes down to quarterback play, and it sucks that Texas produces so many great quarterbacks for other programs in other states and can't get their two biggest programs solid quarterbacks. So I think it really comes down to that.
I think that's part of it, but I mean, going into last season, Sam Ehlinger was like a top five Heisman favorite.
Yeah, or going into this year, he is, actually.
Well, he might be again, but definitely going into last year, he was.
This year, that's not going to happen.
Right. So,
I kind of get what point you're trying to make, but it wasn't because you haven't had a quarterback since Tim Tebow that you haven't won. It's because Urban Meyer left. And you know what? If you've got the right coach, you can win with – and Tebow was a great college quarterback. He wasn't a great pro by any stretch. You can win with pretty good quarterbacks. It's been pretty rare that Nick Saban's had a Tua. He's had good quarterbacks. But how many of them, like McElroy and McCarron, good players, but it's Nick Saban that does it. But if some guys, I believe that if you have a stud quarterback, that's what Jimbo Fisher needs. Jimbo Fisher needs another Jameis Winston. Kellen Mond, not it. Kellen Mond, nice player. Not a great player. And that's, there's some transcendent guys like Cam Newton, obviously won despite coaching at Auburn. But that's just not that common. I mean, I think it's the coach is more important. And I think the whole point turned into it's coach and quarterback, which, that's about the most basic.
Yeah.
In any football situation. Let's try Shannon. What's up, Shannon?
Sports, what's up?
Sports.
So if we're going to do the who would have thunk it with the Coach O, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I'll lay one on you because, I'm a Saints and LSU homer, and last year we were making fun of the Joe Burrow transfer, and we could do the who would have thunk it on him playing out of his mind. And since I've had a few adult beverages here, I'll do one a little bit better. Could we be next year going, damn, who would have thunk it? Billy O'Brien won a Super Bowl. I'll hang up a little.
I don't think so. I think it's a little tougher to do in the NFL. I mean, you can have a magical season with a player in college. It'll take you a long way. I mean, Johnny Manziel took a program that wasn't much, and when he left it wasn't much again and made them competitive. So
Manziel's a great example of that. But can I tell you why we won't be doing that? It's because, and I've I've said this before when they won the championship, that would you ever believe that Coach O was smarter than Bill O'Brien if you listen to both guys? But you look at what he did, and being a coach, and I know you've got your cronies listening, Bill, so go ahead and have them write to put this in their notebook, as AJ would say. If things aren't quite working for you as a head coach, there's two ways to go. You tighten your grip on things, like Bill O'Brien's done, or you did what Coach O did and said, you know what, this offense ain't cutting it. I need to go get a new, fresh mind, and brought in Joe Brady. And Coach O let him do his job. Guess what? He let his defensive staff do its job. You get great people and let them do their job. You know what happens? You have success. Now, that team became a transcendent offense. And I one of the arguments that will come up at some point, and not right now because I don't think we're going to have college football, but just where that team ranks among the all-time greats, because they're up there.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't happen if you don't have the right people in place. And Bill O'Brien, he's gone the opposite direction. He's tightened his grip. And I don't think that's going to make him successful.
Why you got to judge me based on the way I talk, Fred? That ain't nice at all.
No, but if you put those two in a room and ask them.
I mean, one did go to Brown.
Exactly. Yeah. Ask them a question about something. You say, oh, that guy's smarter than this guy. That's one of the things that people judge people on how they talk. That happens. But he did what he needed to do. He looked at it and said, what I'm doing is not good enough. How do I fix it? That's what people should do in any business. If things aren't going the way you hope, what am I doing? What can I do to get better? And that's what he did. And guess what? It worked. I don't see that from Bill O'Brien. And I know Bill O'Brien apologists will start texting in now with all the other idiots today. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't look, what am I doing wrong? It's like, how can I have more control over this? And four division titles.
Things didn't go right because I didn't run everything.
I feel like that there are opportunities for coaches to improve, and most of them don't, because it's a very, for one thing, it's not an easy job. There's no question. There's a lot of pressure, especially at that level. But there's also a lot of, and to me, judging a coach is real simple. Is he a guy when he brings in a new player? Does that player fit his system, or does he change his system to work for the player? And the guys who do that tend to be the better coaches.
Yeah. And that's what Mac did with Vince.
Yeah, that was a totally different offense with Vince Young.
He finally said, you know what, I got to stop trying to keep such a tight grip on this thing.
And he was Bill O'Brien. And then he looked at it and did exactly what Coach O did, and they won a national championship because of it. All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Crank that up a little bit. Let that play for a second. I love this song. It's another one that, when you're going through a workout and you're starting to struggle a little bit, this one comes on, I'm like, yes.
I wouldn't know about that.
I think between this, anything by Rob Zombie, or anything by Pantera, whenever that pops up in my workout thing, I get extra motivated. Of course, I haven't worked out in forever, so I'm not really motivated to do anything right now. All right. That's cool. You can turn it down.
All right. Let's talk to Peasy. Looks like people like talking about sports on the radio, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, Peasy. Sports to you.
Hey, sports man, let me tell you something about Bill O'Brien, okay? Let me help you understand the method to the madness, okay? See, I once played football. I know a little bit about football. And I know Bill O'Brien is going to solve COVID-19 and bring the Texans to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well,
that's it?
No, that's totally a joke. Just wanted to get that jab in real quick. Y'all have a good one.
Okay. the delivery there. You needed the pause.
You need a punchline, honestly.
Yeah, well, punchline would help, but a pause there might have helped.
Yeah.
But good try.
Oh, well.
This is 12-ounce curls, Fred. I was so embarrassed the other day. I had to go to the pet store and pick up dog food and cat litter and a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, those stairs at my place are fairly steep. And so I'm carrying this like 60-pound bag of dog food and a 40-pound bag of cat litter at the same time going up the stairs.
Oh, you're so strong.
Well, I mean, I'm in the old days, that would be like no problem, right? I get to the top of the stairs and like I had to go sit down for 10 minutes. It was just, I'm old. I don't have it anymore. Stop it with the sports. Jeez, what is this, a sports radio station? Oh, man. GBC, I don't think it's necessarily Coach O smarter than O'Brien. I think Coach O has more common sense and the ability to understand and use constructive criticism that so many people lack today. That's a gift, man. That is totally a gift.
What's funny is, had you asked me, you know, 10 years ago, what the best football jobs are, like what's the best opportunity? What's the best ceiling? Like if you were the hottest coach in football and you could have any job you wanted.
Hot like Cliff Kingsbury or?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, like a different kind of hot. Like if, you know how Sean McVay was a couple of years ago? Like you have that level of heat. You could get any job you want.
Right.
I always said the jobs that stuck out to me that have the highest ceiling are Florida, Texas, and USC. Because they're the big daddy schools in recruiting hotbeds. But
you know what? Most of those are in, and while Austin's become huge, they're all in urban areas. I don't know that that's necessarily how you know, where you can win the biggest now. And I think that's why, and I don't think that, I'm not disputing that those three are would be up there.
But, because it's easy to say, well, Alabama, because for the last...
But that's Nick Saban's there.
Well, I don't think Alabama's going to be Alabama when Nick Saban hangs it up.
Well, it wasn't before he got there.
Yeah. Will they ever get back to that? Sure, because it's a traditional power. But will they year in and year out just be dominant? I don't think so.
You want to have some fun? Well, go look at the coaches between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban.
There's a dry run. And one place I can tell you is almost certainly not like the highest ceiling place is Clemson. Like, that's you've caught lightning in a bottle with this coach. And good for you. I mean, they're putting Clemson in it to a level where they probably would never be otherwise.
Yeah.
But I always feel like those schools have built-in things that should make them powers. And really, if you want to go a step further, I mean, you can look at the other big schools in those states. UCLA, down. Texas A&M, down. Florida State, down. Miami, down. Like, those are the three biggest recruiting bases, right?
Yeah.
Florida, California, Texas put more kids into major college football than anybody. Yet, there's not a school in any of those states that's probably happy with where they are in the grand scheme of college football right now.
Well, and I've always, and not that I want to admit this publicly, but you kind of have to factor Oklahoma into the recruiting here, just like you have to factor in LSU. And
yeah, but if you're that place, if you're Texas, you should be so dominant that doesn't happen. And if you're Florida,
but you know what,
your best kids shouldn't be going to Georgia.
But you know this better.
That's on them.
You know this better than anybody. Mac Brown, even as great as he was recruiting, that school never got to where it was until he started going out of state.
Yep.
And bringing in some,
that's true.
Chris Sims and guys like that.
Before Chris Sims, it was like almost blaspheme for Texas to bring out of state kids. Like Ricky Williams coming in was like a big deal because he was from California. We really need this California boy on our football team. Well, it turns out he was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you still have to recruit your base.
You do, but I also think that even as many players as there are here, there's a ton of competition for them. Even if you only get 25 of them. That's the other thing.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe you pick the wrong guys. That did happen to Mac sometimes. He'd get a lot of five-star kids who turned out to be bums because they recruited the wrong guys who weren't a great fit. That's what's always made LSU and And Alabama's so – well, Alabama gets whatever five-star they want these days. But LSU would go get three-star guys that turn into five-star players because right. they knew what kind of player they were looking for, especially defensive backs. So whoever is there picking defensive backs for LSU, that's that dude deserves a raise. Going back to the argument about recruiting and stuff, said these arguments will be irrelevant in 2022 when the name, image, likeness will be in full effect and the schools with the biggest sponsors can buy whoever they want from G-Money. I got news for you, buddy. That's already happening. Those other schools with money are already doing it. So the year that O'Brien got hired, I looked back at the coaches that were available. OB and Zimmerman were the best ones out of that coaching staff. And we got the short straw on that one. Zimmer, you mean? Yeah. I think Vikings fan probably happier with Zimmer than Texans fan is with O'Brien.
I would say so.
He at least got to a championship game.
If you could trade him in right now, would you trade Zimmer for O'Brien?
Would I trade O'Brien for Zimmer?
Yeah.
What do I have to throw in?
Nothing. I mean, if you could get him heads up.
Oh.
Not even close, right?
Yeah, I take that deal.
Yeah.
Done. I thought you were going to make me throw in a draft pick.
No.
And then Bill O'Brien.
This is a situation where I'm the GM. I'm making the decision, so I'm
okay.
not going to blow it.
Okay, because if it were O'Brien, he would probably throw in two number ones.
Right.
To trade himself. So, So a Mac Brown missed big on Adrian Peterson. VY and AP would have been amazing. Yeah,
it would have been. And really, he didn't miss big on AP. And remember, we talked to Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And he told us the truth. A lot of people thought that when Oklahoma beat the snot out of Texas in the Cotton Bowl, that's when Adrian changed his mind. But AD came on our show, and I asked him about that. And he said, that's not why. He said he wanted Mac to assure him that he would have a chance to start as a freshman. And this was Cedric Benson's senior year. And, I mean, Cedric Benson was arguably the best running back in the country.
He was certainly one of the top two or three in that conversation.
So
for sure.
He just said, look, I can't do that. Cedric's our guy this year. Next year, Adrian said, I didn't want assurance that I would start. I just wanted to have a shot. I wanted to line up with him. And if I looked like I was going to outperform him, give me the first crack at it. And Mac was honest with him, and that maybe cost him. But Mac said, listen, Cedric, it's his senior year. He's playing. And, you know, I don't know if that's the right call or not.
Yeah, that's a debate, but it's not like he missed out on
him. Yeah, by the way, the reality is when he missed out on Adrian Peterson, he ended up with Jamal Charles and Ramontz Taylor and Selvin Young, you know, Jamal Charles, who ended up being a great, great NFL back. Selvin Young, who made the NFL. Ramontz Taylor, who would have made the NFL if it weren't for the devil's lettuce. So, I mean, it's not like the cupboard was suddenly bare for Mac at running back. But he didn't have Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson hung around, 2 years of college, and then he was gone. So, I don't know if that's the biggest loss ever. I mean, it would have been nice to get him, but I don't think it was the biggest deal.
Well, the same thing happened with Manziel's, because Manziel wanted to go and play quarterback at UT, and they told him, you're a safety. We're set at quarterback. And he said, I just want to be in the quarterback room. And they said, no, sorry. And Mike Sherman said, yeah, you can come be in my quarterback
room. It's the same thing they said. It's the same thing Mac told Bob Griffin.
Yep.
And that's really where it cost him.
Yeah, well, and there was that kind of back-to-back-to-back because I don't know what happened with Andrew Luck. He didn't even try to recruit him, apparently.
Nope.
And you kind of had that. Those started adding up, and you missed out. I guess Jameis is the one that said he wanted to go to Texas and never got a call.
The guy that they pushed really hard for and ended up not getting because he followed his girlfriend was Matt Stafford. So Matt Stafford ended up at Georgia, and Mac was pushing super hard for Matt Stafford. And then sometimes you find the guy that you think is your guy, and they did that with Garrett Gilbert.
Yep.
And to their credit, everybody thought Garrett Gilbert was the Garrett Gilbert was the consensus best quarterback in the country. Like, there wasn't a doubt of whether or not Garrett Gilbert should be getting recruited. Like,
right.
Everybody wanted Garrett Gilbert. He just happened to be in Texas's backyard, and they got him, and he just happened not to be as good as everyone thought he was going to be.
Which does
that
happen. It does. You miss sometimes. And, well, Kyle Allen was supposed to be it for A&M.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe that was just coaching, though, because, you know, he made it to the NFL, played okay at times last year, but, you know, he's never never was going to be anything special. And Kyler Murray, of course, that was another guy supposed to be great. Didn't work out. Then he goes to OU with a guy who can coach. Worked out just nice.
It worked out all right.
So 713-780-ESPN.
See that, Fred? We just talked about sports matches for 45 minutes.
I know.
Ooh, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I need a beer.
Feels like the old days.
Yeah.
Where we'd talk about sports like they were going to happen.
I know. And I always feel like, I don't want to say these conversations are meaningless right now, because I really don't think there's going to be college, at least until January, maybe. I wouldn't mind spring football. I'd be okay with that, as long as I knew it was coming. But on the other hand, we're also talking about, God, we are turning into Joel and Barry. We're doing these. I remember when Mac Brown was a head coach and he recruited Ramon's Taylor.
Yeah, we're
on the way back machine. Oh, my. I think this is still the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull it to the house with some big bus. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the
set your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A little soccer matters tonight for you soccer fans out there. Snobby soccer fans. 832, I remember when the Texans were wanting Caldwell and Lovie Smith. Also got a little excited because the Texans ended up getting the quarterback whisper. Hey, at the time, I thought that was the best hire they could make.
Oof.
I mean, he was the best of the prospect pool, but...
Was he?
Well, I was hoping they were going to get David
Shaw.
What
had he accomplished?
Basically, you were hiring him off what you thought he did at Penn State, which in retrospect really wasn't as impressive. But, I mean, the guy was a coach of the year in college football with NFL experience. So, I mean, he had a good resume coming in. He really did. And... But then the more you watch him, it's like, I mean, this guy is not so much. And, you know, after 6 years,
it feels like he's a college football coach still.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to turn it into a college football program.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. And it's not going to work. And unfortunately, and that's what you're stuck with in Houston. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. We have something else to worry about from 2020 because we don't have enough going on. I can safely say I will never go to the Philippines. It's not on my list of places to go.
Mine either.
But in case you are on the fence about the Philippines, here's a good reason not to go. The world's largest bat has been discovered in the Philippines.
I saw this. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's human being size. It's got a wingspan up to 5'6" long and can weigh 2.6 pounds. And basically, a Twitter user posted a photo of this thing hanging upside down, and I thought it was a joke. It wasn't a joke. It's a real thing. It's the giant golden crown flying fox is what they call it. That doesn't make it sound better.
I'm against that. Yeah. I am. I'm marking it down. I'm out on that.
Now, here's one positive. Despite their size, they're vegetarian and consume primarily fruit.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, me. I don't care either.
I don't want a bat to touch me or anything like that. Bats are gross.
Yeah, I honestly, when I saw the photo, I thought it was a joke. It looks like a little kid in a bat costume. No, these things are real. And all it's going to take is for them to turn on and start going carnivore, and then it's over for us, especially if they team up with the apes. Man, this is just another thing. It's another thing of 2020, giant Philippine bats.
Ugh. It's Bat Boy.
It looks like Bat Boy, doesn't
it? From the old, like the National Enquirer?
Yeah, it is Bat Boy. Bat Boy really exists. It says he has a face that looks very similar to that of a fox. No, it looks like a, it almost looks like a goat bat. They have a long snout that is very similar to those of canines, or me. They have ears that are pointed rather than round, like most species of bats. Many people call them the fox with wings. That is not a fox. That looks nothing like a fox. Foxes are kind of cute. You know, they're not, they're like sort of tiny wolves that don't really scare you.
Someone asked me, I was walking my wife's dog, and someone asked me if it was a fox. No, it's just a regular dog.
Can you walk a fox?
I don't know. It'd be pretty cool, though.
Oh, you, well, anyway, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I don't know if I mentioned this. The other morning when I about 5 o'clock before it had gotten too bright, the dog wanted to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I look over at my neighbor's yard, and I see what I think is a possum, because I've seen possums around there. And whatever it was saw us and starts climbing up the fence. It's a damn raccoon.
Oh, the raccoon was killing Jay Cutler's chickens.
Probably so.
Oh, they caught it.
Yeah, I know. I know he did. But, I mean,
what a great saga.
I mean, I've seen raccoons around the city before, but I've never seen them that close in. So I don't know where the hell he's living or what the hell he's doing, but he's not welcome.
I shot a raccoon. It was in my tree.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What was he doing to you?
I mean, he was like tearing up the yard and terrorizing my dogs.
Ah.
So I treed him and then shot him. And he died.
So I can do that?
I mean, with a raccoon?
Yeah.
I mean,
because I don't want that guy around.
You could. I mean, you don't have you don't have trees at your house, though.
I kind of have like a small tree.
Not a tree that could hold the weight of a raccoon.
Well,
raccoons weigh like 15-20 pounds.
This is not a big raccoon. He's fairly young. But I don't want him around.
Yeah, shoot him. Okay. I think they're varmint. They're pests.
Maybe I'll pepper spray him.
No, that's cruel.
Why is that cruel?
It's better to just kill it.
Why is that cruel?
Because a blind raccoon, you think that's cool?
It's not going to be blind forever. It wears off.
You don't know. You're not a raccoon ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmologist? Santos, look at that picture. Says, are we sure that's not Dracula? That's what it looks like. Looks like something out of a Dracula movie. Well, I'll tell you what I wanted to get to today that we'll do in the 6 o'clock hour, since we've been too sportsy and too, I don't know what the hell that was in the first hour. Somebody says it's all of Josh Ennis's. This is your new listeners. Well, welcome, guys. But maybe before you comment, realize what the show's about. I mean, just little stuff like, that friend listens to everything he hears on the news. No.
Well, I mean, I doubt that Josh's new, like the new listeners we gained from bringing in Josh are like upset that we're not talking enough sports and stuff like
no, but I don't think so. But I mean, those kind of comments are really just, I spent 30 minutes lecturing people on how to, you know, how not to trust certain news organizations last week, and then to get accused of that is just it's ignorant, sir, ignorant. So, the cops might have killed AJ's mail thief. There was a suspect getting arrested, and he went for the officer's gun and shot him.
No joke.
In the car was tons of mail.
Uh oh.
Ooh.
Well,
interesting.
I'm not gonna say good. But good that there's a criminal off the streets.
Yeah, if they go for his gun and you get shot, then so be it. So be it.
If they go to his house and find a dog backpack.
Eyelashes?
Eyelash grow. No, it's not eyelash. It's like a serum that makes the eyelashes grow. They're not. She doesn't wear fake eyelashes. They would also find some artisanal coffees. And
God, this
assorted like not beef jerky, but like bison jerky and things like elk jerky.
Oh my God!
Some beef jerky or some meat, some dried meats. So if they find that stuff, cops at his house, that's mine.
Oh, my God.
It's like a commercial for white privilege.
It really is.
I mean, not just white privilege.
He stole the whitest things from me.
Not just white privilege, but one of those snobby guys who sits there and writes articles about how you shouldn't watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That is... And only shops at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Trader... Sometimes I go to Trader Joe's.
Okay. Oh, my God. I guarantee you that that's... What's the word for that? It's not really hipster. It's more,
yuppie.
Kind of. It's almost
whatever
yuppie.
It is. There's probably not a good word for it. There's not a complimentary word.
No, and that's
for
that's what I'm looking for. The non-complimentary word. Somebody'll know. That's what they do. Somebody said it was a male theft ring.
Good. I hope they catch them all. I hope it falls. I hope the whole ring falls.
Mm. And it was an offer. The officer was female. Said her gun. So, St. Patrick, literally a package full of first world problems,
basically.
I know that there's got to be a name for this. There's got to be a name for this.
Well, Fred, I had a bunch of extra money to spend. You know why? TGS. That's why. I was like, man, I can't afford dog backpacks. I can't afford artisanal coffees and bison jerky, or a tiny little bottle of eyelash grower that costs like $1 million. But TGS was like, well, what if we saved you over $1,000 a year on your home insurance? I'd be like, what? Well, now I can buy that frivolous stuff. And TGS did that for me. They've got an innovative system. They've already shopped all the insurance prices on every home in the area. They know what you can be saving. All you got to do is send a text. Text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. Reply back. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, these savings, legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect. Over 1,000 reviews. The average customer saving $900 a year. No need to wait for your renewal. They're going to take care of all the back end, get you refunded on your old policy. They're open now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving today.
ESPN 97.5.